Don't you guys ever get tired of ordering the same things?
No.
Uh-oh. Don't look, Stacy.
Where? Oh, God, I made eye contact.
Oh, psycho hose beast.
Happy anniversary, Wayne.
Stacy, we broke up 2 months ago.
Well, that doesn't mean we can't still go out.
Well, it does, actually. That's what breaking up is.
Will, are you going to go to the gasworks tonight?
No. No!
Don't you want to open your present?
If it's a severed head, I'm going to be very upset.
Open it.
Okay. What is it?
It's a gun rack.
A gun rack? A gun rack. Yeah, great. I don't even own a gun, let alone many guns that would necessitate an entire rack. What am I going to do with a gun rack?
You don't like it? Fine. You know, Wayne, if you're not careful, you're going to lose me.
I lost you 2 months ago. Are you mental? We broke up. Get the net.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Radio goes with life. A salt and pepper, a fork and knife. Radio goes with life.
Everybody complains about politicians. Everybody says they suck.
Yeah.
Well, where do people think these politicians come from? They don't fall out of the sky. They don't pass through a membrane from another reality. They come from American parents and American families, American homes, American schools, American churches, American businesses, and American universities, and they're elected by American citizens. This is the best we can do, folks. This is what we have to offer. It's what our system produces. Garbage in, garbage out. If you have selfish, ignorant citizens, you're going to get selfish, ignorant leaders.
The following podcast contains harsh language, nudity, graphic violence, adult situations, and a healthy obsession with empirical reality. The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Yeah, are we on? Is this working?
Seems like it.
Yeah, we did about an hour and a half of technical troubleshooting before launching the show today.
I'm so glad that it all worked out because I got to hear that Wayne's World time capsule where I get to hear Ugly Kid Joe for the first time in how many years?
Right. Yeah, and I knew you would pick that out. I knew that would be the gem that you would remove.
I actually like that record.
Yeah, and I love that movie. That there's so many great jokes in that movie, just condensed. It is like wall-to-wall jokes.
Yep.
Brilliant. Mike Myers in his heyday was... Yeah, we're talking about Mike Myers as if he's 90 years old and he's going on the Jerry Lewis telethon.
Well, I don't know. That glove doctor, whatever the hell, the glove guru, whatever the hell that thing was, that pretty much sunk him.
Yeah. You know, he could have been making Dr. Evil movies. Like, he could have made 12 of those and I would have seen every single one. I mean, it didn't even need Austin Powers. Just a bunch of Dr. Evil movies.
Give it time. I would not be surprised. He's got to do something to revive the career if he's interested. He could just vanish and count his money.
Hey, how you doing? It's the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. Brought to you exclusively by BubbleGenius.com. Pure products, pure genius. Bubble Genius, we launched on the radio last weekend, and I panicked because I didn't think we were going to be on, and then suddenly we were. There we were. And I don't know how strong the signal is in the Washington, D.C. area, but, you know, I guess we could request that our Washington, D.C. listeners on WPWC let us know what the broadcast range is so we know exactly. Because I know the station is in, I think it's in Southeast. I think it's like in Anacostia. And mm-hmm. So I don't know where the tower is and thus how far the broadcast signal carries. So, but right. You know, it'd be nice to know some of that information.
It's like going back to college radio.
Yeah, it kind of
we
is.
We always used to, when I was in college radio, it's, you know, one of the local stations in Miami used to always say, you know, from the Palm Beaches to Key West, and our station on my show in particular, we were like, yeah, from Ponce de Leon Boulevard to like the Pentland parking lot.
Yeah. I think my college station, the AM, it was an AM carrier current. And it was carried along, I think either the electrical wires, like the electrical grid on the campus, or it might have even been along the like the steam pipes. So there were very few places you could actually hear the campus radio station. And the one thing that you could hear, though, you could hear it in the cafeteria because they had a direct cable line from the radio station that went down to the cafeteria. So I did the daily morning show there, and I got to, for 3 hours a day, annoy everyone in the cafeteria because it was blasting. So the morning,
if I knew I had that captive audience, oh, the horrible crap I would have done.
Oh, and we did it. There was a cork board, like a bulletin board in the cafeteria, and people would just, I mean, there were a lot of complimentary notes left there about the show, but there were so many just hungover, you know, malnourished college students who would just get blasted. It was like 6 o'clock in the morning in the cafeteria eating their carbs, just like, what the goddamn hell is this? And just leaving these horrendous reviews on napkins for us. But we loved it. Because then what we would do is we would collect the napkins off the bulletin board and read them on the air.
Oh, hell yeah.
And then
you pretty much have to.
And then make fun of the people who would write them. So that was,
of course,
lots of fun. Speaking of people to make fun of, Mitt Romney is basically the presumptive nominee in the Republican primary campaign.
Speaking of collegiate Greek jackasses to make fun of,
yeah,
there's Mitt Romney.
He really is. I mean, the guy, he's going to be so much fun to just rip apart because he seems so fragile to me. I can't quite put my finger on why. I mean, I was watching his speech. We talked about this last week, you know, his Iowa caucus speech and how just uncomfortable he is. He doesn't feel comfortable in his own skin. He's putting out there this phony baloney, you know, wingnut attitude that he's not entirely comfortable with because he's never had to be that character. And suddenly he's playing this character. But on top of that, it just seems like if you're to say something to this guy, like if you're to say like a really biting cut down, like if you were to start ranking his mother or something like that, he would fold like a house of cards.
Oh, definitely. Well, no, his magic underwear would protect him.
His magic underwear. That's right. But, you know, I was listening to his New Hampshire victory speech and paying very close attention to it. Because what struck me, I'll get to this in a little bit, but I spent some time this week, again, just tweaking Ron Paul people.
Yeah, you know, I saw that and I really you did that on purpose. Even the title of that,
yeah,
it should have basically been, and I know you'll probably edit this, it should have been just F- Ron Paul. That would have been a better headline for that.
Yeah. And right now I'm just being I'm kind of being a troll. I'm kind of just
deliberately.
Exactly,
yeah, you're being a troll. I love it.
But I am trying to make a valid point, but at the same time I am kind of, we'll talk about that in a bit, but the point is that I'm seeing a lot of, and especially progressive supporters of Ron Paul, mentioning this whole contrarian point of view that that Romney and the president are basically the same. Which is very similar, and again, I keep going back to 1999, 2000, that election cycle, when everyone was saying that Al Gore and George W. Bush are exactly the same. And as we all know from history, we didn't need to guess it. We don't need to go back and guess at all. They are very different people. And I'm talking about George W. Bush and Al Gore. We know this now. But we also know that Mitt Romney and President Obama are very different people, and to paint them with the same brush is absolutely the most absurd thing. I mean, well beyond, as far as I'm concerned, well beyond any sort of cult hero worship of Ron Paul, because that's just naivete. That's just, we're following along with this meme. But this contrarian, I almost said the BS word, and I almost forgot that we have a radio show now. Is so utterly wrong. I can't even describe. This just shows a complete ignorance as to what Mitt Romney is all about, at least in terms of what he is saying, because he is so different from the president. I mean, here was his victory speech. I excerpted some of the most biting remarks. You tell me if this sounds like President Obama. We know that the future of this country is better than 8 or 9% unemployment. It is better than $15 trillion in debt. The president has run out of ideas. Now he's running out of excuses. And tonight we're making the good people of South Carolina to join the citizens of New Hampshire and make 2012 the year he runs out of time. President Obama wants to put free enterprise on trial. In the last few days, we have seen some desperate Republicans join forces with him. This is such a mistake for our party and our nation. This country already has a leader who divides us with the bitter politics of envy. We'll get to that in a second. We must offer an alternative vision. I stand ready to lead us down a different path where we are lifted up by our desire to succeed, not dragged down by a resentment of success. In these difficult times, we cannot abandon the core values that define us as a unique, We are one nation under God. Now, that's just sort of the lead in here. President Obama wants to, quote unquote, fundamentally transform America. We want to restore America to the founding principles that made this country great. He wants to turn America into a European-style entitlement society. That sounds like just like Barack Obama, you know, the European-style entitlement society, demonizing that, right? We want to ensure...
That's why Greenwald bitches about him every week.
Right.
Every 3 days.
Yeah. Oh, God. David Sirota wrote something today.
Just don't even go near the Sirota piece.
Did you see it?
Yeah. You're talking about the Ron Paul. The I'm not endorsing Ron Paul, but you kind of are.
Yeah.
You sanctimonious prick.
But you are, Blanche.
Right.
Let's see. Where's the continue here? We want to ensure that we remain a free and prosperous land of opportunity, as opposed to the European-style entitlement society. This president takes his inspiration from the capitals of Europe. We look to the cities and small towns of America. This president puts his faith in government. We put our faith in the American people. He is making the federal government bigger, burdensome, and bloated. I will make it simpler, smaller, and smarter.
Those small towns of America that I, through Bain Capital, have utterly torn asunder.
Crushed under my mighty foot.
Right, exactly. We brought in the Bagger 288 to come out and slaughter that entire town.
You see what Rachel did? Rachel Maddow had a thing about how Bain Capital crushed KB Toys. Remember
I didn't
KB?
See that, no.
Remember KB Toys?
Sure, it was like one of the only toy stores in the malls.
Mm-hmm. That's right. In Bain Capital, it was something called destructive capitalism, or I forget the exact word that Mitt Romney was using to describe this process, where they basically, in mafia terms, it's busting out a place.
Right.
Where they just bust it out, where they just get rid of everything, they bankrupt it, and then they collect a check.
Right. And then, yeah, exactly. It's the Goodfellas.
Yeah.
When there's nothing left, you torch the place.
Yeah. And that's what they did to KB Toys. They busted it out.
Jesus.
Tragic. Fired thousands of people in the process. So Mitt Romney in his acceptance speech, sounding just like President Obama, continued by saying, he raised the national debt. I will cut, cap, and balance the budget. He enacted job-killing regulations. I'll emulate them. Oh, I'm sorry. I misread that. I'll eliminate them.
Eliminate them.
I'll eliminate them, the job-killing regulations. This is okay, – I'm just going to continue here, and then I got choice words about this. He lost our AAA credit rating. I'll restore it. Okay. How? He passed Obamacare.
He'll buy up Standard & Poor's and fire everybody.
That's exactly right. He passed Obamacare. I'll repeal it. Okay, so these last two items, these are the big exclamation marks that ought to just raise all kinds of alarm bells with any progressive or any liberal, any Democrat watching this election unfold. All right, this guy is not Barack Obama. This guy will roll back everything. Any single one of these Republicans. I don't care whether it's John Huntsman or Ron Paul or Rick Santorum, Mitt Romney, Newt Gingrich, or any of them. Whoever wins, it's probably going to be, you know, Mitt Romney. Whoever wins the nomination, that guy, if elected president, will roll back the entire last 4 years. Everything that has been
not
done.
If, not if it won't be Romney if Newt Gingrich and his desire for petty revenge and scorched earth has his way.
Yeah, so I was on the Young Turks this week with your friend Cenk Uygur.
Oh yeah, I got my name got mentioned by him.
Yeah,
you're right. That was really cool. I almost saw like the slight choking and bile come up in his throat.
As he was saying,
he doesn't even know who the hell I am.
As
you
were saying, Chez. Yeah, that's right. Cenk actually said the Bob and Chez show because that's how I wanted to be credited, and I thought that was kind of funny because
all the crappy things I've said about Cenk.
Yeah. But one thing I did mention on that show was that with regards to Newt Gingrich is that to me, he's kind of a win-win. If Newt Gingrich somehow ascends and gets the nomination, which he's not, he's going to be easily beatable. But meanwhile, if he doesn't get the nomination and he's just firing these crazy bombs at Mitt Romney, taking these shots, and the same goes for Ron Paul, it's just going to weaken Mitt Romney. I mean, basically everything that these Newt Gingrich super PACs are releasing can be transcribed, and repurposed and made into an OFA, pro Obama commercial in the general.
Sure.
And certainly they're going to do it. And so it's this sort of thing. I'm kind of just thrilled watching these proceedings with a big grin across my face because. It's the sort of thing that we were, I guess it was 4 years ago, just biting our nails over. This sort of slash and burn style politics, regardless of who you supported in the primary 4 years ago, to see the Democrats attack each other and to do it in a way that sort of undermined the broader effort, gave Republicans lots of fuel. It was so nerve-wracking because we don't want to do anything that weakens whoever the nominee is going to be, whether it's Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama. But now the Republicans are doing the exact same thing. They're just weakening each other. They're just taking these shots, and they're doing it in a way that fuels the Democratic effort. It's great stuff. You just want to take some of that stuff that Newt Gingrich said about Bain Capital and just steal it. Just take it and put different music under it and re-release it.
Well, yeah. I mean, and they've caught a lot of crap for that, too. Didn't Perry lost one of his backers in South Carolina who said that, I think it was – I'm trying to remember if it was Steve Kornacki who wrote the piece in Salon basically saying, kind of picking apart that argument, saying that it's a gentleman's agreement that – in politics, when you're in the same party, you always attack from the flank as opposed to the center.
Yep.
You make statements like, if you're Newt Gingrich, you make statements like Mitt Romney isn't a true conservative. You don't say Mitt Romney is, Mitt Romney robs from the poor and gives to the rich because that's a left wing argument.
Right.
You're basically doing the job of Democratic strategists for them. But yeah, I mean. To watch them sort of tear each other apart is really interesting. And once again, Gingrich is a thing of beauty because he really is doing it because he's just a vengeful, sad, petty little, SOB.
Right. More about this after a quick break, right after this.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
By the way, when you were on Cenk's show, were you close enough in those little boxes to Aliona to smell her perfume?
Yeah, I really
tried.
That
is one, stunningly, stunningly gorgeous woman.
Yeah, I didn't know who the hell was on with me. I honestly,
Aliona,
I didn't know. I didn't know.
RCD.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know either of them. I didn't know who either of them were, and I couldn't see them either. I mean, I couldn't see anything. I was looking at my webcam.
I saw it was like I was waiting for a Palestinian flag or something to appear behind you and a bunch of guys in masks to cut your head off.
Yeah, it was kind of low budget looking. Yeah.
Yes.
Because it was. I mean, I was connected on Skype.
Right. It was a hostage video. It really was.
Yeah, it really was. I had nothing. I had no fancy schmancy library of books behind me or anything like that. No. Cityscape or, all those different types of.
Yeah, but I mean, I can tell you to go check out the Aliona show for all the absolutely wrong reasons, which is just to stare at her longingly, which is what I do. She is very beautiful. I like my goal on this show, by the way, is to be your id. Because you'll say, you know, oh, she's a very smart lady. And I'll be like, oh, my God, living doll. Holy hell, is she hot. I moved out to L.A. and decided that I'm going to become Hank Moody from Californication. So
right.
So far, it's working out pretty well.
Yeah, that's what I understand. And you know what? That actually leads to a good point, which is to mention that we're going to do our first after party today.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you want to hear all the stuff that we didn't squeeze into this show, and mostly stuff that's not political, we're going to kind of expand what we talk about. And it's sort of this sort of thing. It's the non-political topics, the sex, drugs and rock and roll.
Excellent.
And that's going to be the content of the after party. And that's going to the subscription rate is going to be, we're going to do like a $6 a month thing. It's going to be $6 a month. And you get, you know, at least four shows a month, an hour per show. And, you know, I'm not going to say it's a bargain or that it's expensive. I don't know. But I think that's reasonable. I mean,
I think it's very reasonable.
And it certainly allows us to keep doing it, you know, because it is an extra hour of our time, plus all of the prep time and plus troubleshooting Chez's microphone.
Right, my crappy
microphone. For an hour before. But you want to dial that up. I mean, you want to go to bobsesca.com, and there will be a drop-down menu and lots of advertisements for it. And you go and you subscribe, and you have to pay via PayPal, and it will auto-renew. You could cancel anytime, you know, all that crap. And then once you do sign up, you'll get a username and a password, and then you can go back and you can download old episodes of the show if you're just starting up. And so on. Every week there'll be a new one. And, you know, unless there's some sort of catastrophe.
Right.
But for the most part, we're gonna keep doing it every week. You know, if there only ends up being like five or six subscribers, we may consider doing,
right.
And if it remains that low, we might have to have some conversations here in terms of whether or not we want to continue doing it. But, right. You know, I think we'll have enough subscribers to make it worth the effort and the time.
I think so. Just for a bit. Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, I mean.
So, but anyway.
I'm excited. I can't afford therapy, so it's going to be great for me.
Right. Me neither. You know, so I mean, lots of things we're going to talk about on the after party today. We're going to talk about the new Van Halen song, Really Sucking Ass.
Oh, my God. It just that's putting it incredibly mildly.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that and much, much more, as we always like to say. But let's get back to this election business, the campaign. And the Mitt Romney campaign is trying out something that I find utterly fascinating, which is the petulant rich guy routine.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the whole politics of envy thing, which is like, it really is like, elect me because I'm a douchey frat boy. That's the same argument you used to hear like when you were in college. If you ever slagged on like the jocks or the Greek system or any of that happy crap, you were, you know, they basically pegged you as you're just jealous that you're not popular enough, strong enough, rich enough or whatever to be accepted into the Greeks. So and that's exactly the kind of crap that Romney's pulling.
Yeah, it's the politics of envy. He said it in his acceptance speech the other night, his victory speech. He said
his campaign slogan should be, you know, Romney 2012. You're just jealous.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what he's saying. Saying you people want to be rich like me. You want to be rich and you can't. So therefore, you're jealous because I'm rich and I've been successful. And so all over you. I'm so much better. Blah, blah, blah. And he says, Mitt Romney said on television a number of times, said, I think it's about envy. I think it's about class warfare. I think when you have a president encouraging the idea of dividing America based on 99% versus 1%, you've opened up a whole new wave of approach in this country, which is entirely inconsistent with the concept of one nation under God.
That doesn't even make any sense.
It really doesn't.
What in the hell does one nation under God have to do with anything he said before it?
There isn't.
It's like it's a fun comment because it's like he's trying to pander to everyone. Look, in this one sentence, I can pander to both all, you know, all of my rich benefactors, and I can also pander to the religious right. The level of sort of shamelessness and the tone deafness of playing that particular, well, I'm rich, so, you know, tough, suck it. To be able to play that right now, considering how bad things are, and basically in the same breath, admit that there is 8-9% unemployment. Yeah. That just really, really takes huge nuts.
I mean, this obviously sounds like a bunch of rich guys all sitting around going, "Ah, you know what? They're just jealous. Why don't we say that? Yeah, good idea." They're all sitting around a big conference table, about to, you know, doing a conference call or something, as Romney flies around in his jet. You know what? We ought to just say they're all jealous. It's a really good way to connect with the middle class, Romney campaign. Just say, just tell the middle class, tell the working class, you're all jealous of us. Nyeh, nyeh, nyeh. It's a horrible thing to say. If the goal is to reach out and unify under this concept of one nation under God, however that connects.
Well, I mean, then, Romney, you know, Romney's not going to be able to reach out. Because he really is a robot. He has no – there's no empathy there. There's no emotion. There's no emotional connection to anything. He is so far removed in every single way from the average American, whether it is his status, his standing when it comes to having money, and just obviously the way he thinks. His sort of – you know, he's just detached. He is very, very detached. Yeah. And it's always fun to see him attempt to talk to people, to talk to, like, you know, your average Joe, so to speak, because he fails miserably at it. And he looks like what he is, which is, you know, an incredibly rich guy living up on the hill who lives completely differently than everybody else, trying to pretend that he understands. And he doesn't. He doesn't understand crap.
You're exactly right. I mean, what he does... he's just trying so desperately to connect with so many different people, and that's exactly why he looks so, I don't know, out of his depth. He looks uncomfortable. He's trying all at once to say, you know what, I was worried about getting a pink slip one time. Oh, and by the way, those of you who have, you're just jealous.
Right, but that's it exactly. I mean, it's he says things like that really are. And I have to believe that it's not just, you know, the way I look at it, or the way that, you know, supposedly progressive pundits look at it when they start tearing them apart for crap like that. I have to believe that the average person out there, even if they support Republican politics, kind of looks at that and goes, you know, no, you don't get it at all. And to make that kind of statement is ludicrous, and it's painful, and it's actually grotesque. To sort of put yourself on the same level as people who really have lost everything and people who really are struggling and suffering when, you know, face it, man, you've never suffered in your life and you've never truly struggled, not in the way that average people have. I mean, some people, look, we all know politicians on the whole are very rich people, and most of them don't understand exactly what the average person is going through. But some have the ability to – first of all, they either come from background like Bill Clinton did, where they really didn't have much when they were growing up, or they at least have that sort of great acting ability to sort of project empathy. And Romney does not have that.
It's so hilarious that these guys, the Republicans, are elevating this guy. It just seems like 3 years ago, never would have predicted it. Maybe Mitt Romney will do it. But, you know, the Tea Party was so loud and so powerful. You really thought they were going to choose some sort of fire breather, and they're going with this phony baloney Mitt Romney, this guy who's just so – he's like, it's like fish in a barrel with this guy. Quick break. Back after this.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Oh, yeah. We are brought to you, as we always are, by BubbleGenius.com. Pure products, pure genius, bubble genius. They are the best bath and body products you can absolutely buy anywhere. And if you're concerned about corporate power, corporate greed, people like Mitt Romney, make sure to go to Bubble Genius and buy all of your bath and body products from a liberal independent business. We gotta stick together. We gotta support independent small businesses, liberal businesses, any way we can. And you know what? The bonus is, their stuff is really damn good. It's at bubblegenius.com, and here now is the latest word from the Bubble Genius lady.
Well, it looks like that wicked winter air is setting in.
And you know how washing up in winter can leave your hands drier than Rick Perry's hooses on a Saturday night.
Well, friend, fret no more. Whip your dry skin into shape
with whoop-ass hand balm from Bubble Genius.
Them good folks over at Bubble Genius have loaded up their whoop-ass with a whole mess of nature's goodies,
like genuine shea butter and sweet almond oil,
citrus extracts, and sage,
which are wonderful for healing and fixing your skin right up.
This here ain't no sissy hand balm. This here's some serious stuff.
So if long days out on the range are leaving your skin tighter than socks on a rooster,
then it sure is time to open a can of whoop-ass.
By the by, this stuff's great on rough elbows.
And knees, too. Hear that, Mitch McConnell?
Check out the entire line of whoop-ass products, including body whip and soap, at bubblegenius.com.
Bubble Genius. Y'all suds up now, you hear?
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Make sure to enter your promo code when you do. Go to bubblegenius.com.
Failed casting tapes from Petticoat Junction.
Right.
I hung out with them, by the way, again this past weekend with the Bubble Genius girls. God, I love them.
Oh, you're so lucky.
They rule. They really do.
Yeah, I only got to spend some time with them back in, I don't know, it was like May or something like that. They were out.
Now, that makes like the third time I've hung out with them. They're great.
Your promo code is Bob and Chez, BOBANDCHEZ, for 15% off your entire order from bubblegenius.com. So, yeah, I was on the Young Turks on Current. And technical weird things aside, the fact that, you know, I was on Skype. Yeah, it's Skype. Skype looks weird. Skype video looks, you know, it looks kind of grainy and dark. And, you know, I didn't really have, it was like, it was very short notice. I didn't really have an opportunity to get the proper lighting and all that crap. So it did look weird. But specifically, the content was interesting because as I was sort of predicting to myself, I thought it was going to kind of be like a bit of an ambush. Like, yeah, I'm going to be the only guy who's attempting to look at things in a rational way while everyone's screaming that, you know, Barack Obama is a fascist attempting to expand American empire and kill American people as he assassinates them and puts them in prison without trial.
Right.
And
drone attacks. Don't forget drone attacks.
Drone attacks. That's right.
With drone, by the way, being the operative word on that argument.
And the drug war.
Right,
which is ending the drug war. Suddenly a progressive priority. We haven't heard the words war on drugs, I think, in 10 years.
You know what, by the way, just really quick aside, I loved the one comment to your Ron Paul piece. The one really, really bright person who basically said that if Ron Paul woke up tomorrow morning and like changed his position on drugs and like decided that, you know, he was against the legalization of weed, like all of his support would evaporate.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really remarkable. I think that one issue, he's really kind of a single issue candidate for a lot of people. Like
right.
This guy, because you know what? Look, he's not against. I don't want to go over the same territory.
Right.
He's not as anti-war as people think he is. I mean, he voted for the AUMF. I mean, he introduced a bill that would have hired a whole army of privateers who would have gone out and assassinated, without accountability, Al-Qaeda people, terrorists all around the world. It would have been on the government payroll. This isn't something that he voted for. This is something he authored. And this is something that Ron Paul came up with. Mr. Pacifist. Let's hire a private army to go out and assassinate people randomly.
Hoo-ha, cherry soda.
Hoo-ha, cherry soda. He's not the pacifist you think he is. But, you know, he is against continuing the drug war, and he's all for the legalization of marijuana. And I think the other drugs, too. I think he just wants to decriminalize all of it. And so that's going to gain him a lot of support, popular support. It's bubble gum is what it is. It's just he's throwing that out there. You know, certainly it's in line with libertarian policy. But libertarian policy also carries with it a lot of terrible things. And, you know, you need to have something. Do you want to answer that?
No. It's funny. I actually just kicked it across the room.
Oh, really?
I'm sorry. I need to remember to the only reason I never silence that damn thing is because I know that I'll forget to at some point. And, like, you know, when I get the phone call that, you know, my father's been crushed by an elephant or something, I won't, you know, be around to answer it. So
don't expect to answer it. I mean, don't expect to turn it off. I mean, you should just leave it on. If it rings, it rings. It's real life.
Exactly. That's what I'm all about.
We do not present ourselves as being locked in a hermetically sealed studio. Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting at my kitchen table. I don't know exactly where you are in your house, but
I am sitting at a table in the living room of the apartment that I'm staying at until I get a place out here.
Yeah, there you go. So I mean, we're not, and we're in two different time zones, for God's sake.
It is, however, 72 degrees and sunny outside, as always.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Oh, my God, it's wonderful.
It's exactly the same here.
So, yeah, Cenk, let's get back to that.
Yeah, let's get back to that. It's fun tweaking Ron Paul people. I just like
Oh,
that.
No, I
like
agree with you. I think you should write a Ron Paul column every single week.
But what I love more than that is tweaking them on Twitter. Because that's a lot of fun. You know, you get this line of reasoning like, well, name one thing, come on, name one thing that makes Ron Paul seem like a crackpot. Yeah, he wants to eliminate like half a dozen cabinet-level departments and agencies. They're like, well, what do they even do? And this is the response. What do those agencies even do? Well, you wanted me to name a crackpot thing. Eliminating FEMA is a crackpot thing. And don't tell me that FEMA doesn't do anything.
Right.
FEMA is kind of important. See also New Orleans. But we're going to take one last break, and we'll come back and talk about one of the most agitating topics that was discussed during the during the Young Turks this week. Back after this.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
It is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show, brought to you exclusively by BubbleGenius.com.
The best freaking driving song ever.
Oh, God. You know, every time I come back to those two albums, the two Dead Weather albums.
Yep.
Over and over again. I must listen to that. I must listen to Whorehound at least once a week.
Alison Mosshart has a voice like heroin. I put a shark injector in my cars, which basically just overrides all the electronics, so it's like fast as hell now. And I swear, I drive around with that sunroof open, windows down, and listen to that all the time.
So great.
The guy is crazy talented. You ever seen that documentary?
It could get loud.
It could get loud. When he makes a guitar out of a piece of wire and a board.
Mm-hmm.
And plugs it into a pickup and then into an amplifier and then plays something on it and it sounds amazing.
Yeah.
He's
astonishing. I mean, and Dead Weather is, you know, he's turned out a lot of really good side projects.
Yeah.
But yeah, Dead Weather's great.
So one of the topics on the Young Turks this week, and you know, I keep coming back to this because I want to have an opportunity to sort of expand upon, because the thing is, I don't really like doing television, and here's why. It's almost like being on Twitter, but only being allowed to tweet one thing a day, or being limited in terms of how often you can respond to someone. It's very difficult to expand on a point in like a 90-second window, and especially when you're not really – you don't see anyone – I couldn't see any of the other people. I didn't know exactly what was proceeding, if I was on camera, if I wasn't on camera. It's hard to know. So it's very disconcerting and uncomfortable. And so one of the things I wanted to talk about in more detail was the main topic of the power panel, which was this book called The Obamas, with all of these revelations about the First Lady. Evidently, you know, the First Lady is
disappointed with the president.
Disappointed is
like everyone else.
Yeah, the First Lady is a firebagger in the White House, right. And she's going around saying, "You, You traitor.
At some point, Hampshire's going to like rip her face off like one of those Mission Impossible masks, and it's going to be, you know, it's going to be the first lady underneath.
That's right. You know, here I was trying to make a point about process. Yeah, it's fine for all of us to hoot and holler about what we want the president to do. It's another thing entirely to actually accomplish those things. And the cliquishness of everything was diminishing that point. And so the president has to go out and collect the votes. He has to find the votes for policy X.
It was absolutely 3-1 on that. No doubt about it. I mean, and they're smart people. I'm not criticizing Cenk or Eliana or I think her name was Megan was the other one. You know, but yeah, you were definitely outnumbered, man.
Yeah. Well, it was, and it, even if it was one on one, I think the labeling of, well, you're going easy on the president, which
right.
was the polite way to say.
Didn't Cenk actually say flat out, like when he introduced you, you know, Bob, you kind of got your work cut out for you here. You're the only one who basically thinks that the president's progressive.
Yeah. Good luck. If you don't start waving your fist at the camera and screaming expletives about how the president has sold out progressives and hates progressives. Right.
Cenk's normal personality, if he doesn't challenge you to a Rochambeau in the parking lot, that's what I always get from him, that he's like one step away from just like, I'll beat your ass.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, he's a bulldog. There's no doubt about that. He doesn't flinch and doesn't shy away from a fight. That's for sure. And, you know, I do consider Cenk a friend, and I've been on his show quite a few times, his radio show, specifically his radio show. And I was on his MSNBC TV show, too. And nevertheless,
I really don't. I may have differences of opinion with him, and I don't think he's a great broadcaster. That's just my opinion. But, you know, as a professional, I don't think he's a great broadcaster. But I respect his opinion. The place that he lost me, that he just went off the deep end for me, and I know you might sort of appreciate this, was the Huffington Post piece that was just, you know, the one that he wrote a couple weeks ago where it was just this nonstop pillorying of the president. And I'm just like, all right, look, you know what? It really was. You know, things online get called rants. It was a rant.
Yeah.
It was this extended entire column of nothing but horse. You get it.
Well, again,
and I'm like, all right, that's it. You lost me on this one, man.
But there's nothing wrong with saying that. There's nothing wrong with saying that you don't like his point of view or you don't like how he presents himself. There's nothing wrong. We should be allowed to say that to each other and say, oh, yeah, you know what? That's fine. And then move along. And then maybe find a couple areas that we agree about that we can kind of form a coalition around.
I would love to be important enough for somebody to call me a rotten prick. Besides exes, that I got a lot of.
But you know, it was one of those situations where I felt like no matter what I said in that context, it wasn't going to be given any sort of validity. We'll come back to that in a second. Got more to talk about on that front. The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show brought to you every week by BubbleGenius.com, the best goddamn soap in the world. And we mean that literally and sincerely. I use Bubble Genius soap every day. Hibiscus soap is beautiful. It actually feels good in your hands. And I'm not saying that to be salacious, but you can always count on Bubble Genius to provide vegan, liberal, and sweet-smelling soaps. Here now, and they're free of surfactants. I always forget to mention them. Here now is the latest word from Bubble Genius.
Well, it looks like that wicked winter air is setting in.
And you know how washing up in winter can leave your hands drier than Rick Perry's hooses on a Saturday night.
Well, friend, fret no more. Whip your dry skin into shape
with whoop-ass hand balm from Bubble Genius.
Them good folks over at Bubble Genius have looted up their whoop-ass with a whole mess of nature's goodies.
Like genuine shea butter and sweet almond oil,
citrus extracts, and sage,
which are wonderful for healing and fixing your skin right up.
This here ain't no sissy hang bomb. This here's some serious stuff.
So if long days out on the range are leaving your skin tighter than socks on a rooster,
then it sure is time to open a can of whoop-ass.
By the by, this stuff's great on rough elbows.
And knees, too. Hear that, Mitch McConnell?
Check out the entire line of whoop-ass products, including body whip and soap, at BubbleGenius.com.
Bubble Genius. Y'all suds up now, you hear?
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
That wasn't the iTunes ones. I keep forgetting to mention that in addition to the Huffington Post, BobSeska.com, DeusExMalcontent.com, Stitcher Radio, which you can listen to on your smartphone, you can now listen to the show at WPWC in Washington, D.C. That's AM 1480 every Sunday from 3 to 4 p.m. And most importantly, iTunes. Make sure to go there to iTunes if you haven't already. If you don't have iTunes, download it and subscribe to the show, because the more subscribers we have, and it's free. It's a free subscription, at least for this version of the show. The after party is another story. But you get the show for free, and, you know, it's convenient. You can put it on your iPod, and you can do all sorts of things. Plus, it helps the show in terms of visibility. So the more reviews and comments you put on the show page on iTunes, the better off we are. And we thank you. So, and, you know, then it continued with we moved on to a discussion about the president evidently, you know, giving jobs to all kinds of Wall Street people. And there was an entire list, you know. And there are, you know, this is a valid point. I'll give them this. Yes, the president has hired some people who come from the financial sector. Timothy Geithner from the New York Fed. Bill Daley from J.P. Morgan. Jack Lew is the new chief of staff. He worked for Citigroup there for a while. But then what I'm trying to do is, in lieu of any actual reporting, we do not have any verification that the president is behind closed doors with these people, plotting ways to deregulate them. So there's no reporting about that. So in lieu of any actual verification, like, okay, this guy is screwing everybody by elevating Wall Street, what's wrong with the explanation that, well, maybe he's hiring these guys because they know this industry inside and out, and they can give him insight into how it functions in order to find ways to better regulate it without collapsing the markets in the process?
I get the collapsing the markets thing. I mean, you do have to take that into consideration. I do understand, though, that's one of those things on when it comes to Obama that I don't give him a pass on. You know, I thought that was outrageous that he sort of, you know, he turned the keys to the economy essentially back over to the people who absolutely gangbanged it, you know, around the world. And that really, you know, that Frank Rich piece that he wrote about how that's sort of Obama's original sin. I agreed with that. You know, I mean, that was something that to me was sort of unforgivable. Now, I'm not saying that you go out and you put, you know, you do the liberal utopia idea, which is to get, you know, we're going to clone Elizabeth Warren and put her in charge of every single thing. You know, you can't do that. But by the same token, I was angered over that. But I mean, I get your point. I do. And at some point, yeah, you do have to consider how the markets will react. And you can't further crash the economy. But the problem is that these guys, yeah, I mean, these guys really screwed up. And we just kind of went, ah. You know, and nothing was really done about it.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree with you about that. I think there should be way more. People should have been frog marched out of Wall Street in a big conga line in shackles. And that never happened. I mean, that's one of those things. That is one of the many things that, you know, I wish this administration had been more active in doing, which is prosecuting this.
On the blog for a while, one of my common refrains was, you know, the guillotines. Bring back the freaking guillotine.
Sure.
I mean, obviously I don't mean that, but it was so outrageous, the level of corruption and the level of criminality. You know, just seriously, just start lobbing off heads in the streets. Yeah. Enough.
Yeah. Well, the problem is that the Wall Street was so, and the financial sector was so deregulated that, and there were so many things, and reading Matt Taibbi's stuff, you get a very strong impression as to what some of these things were, but there's so much below the water level of this iceberg that even the regulators can't unravel. so many different ways that they were able to move this paper around that, you know, you at least needed someone to guide you to the iceberg first to understand what was at the tip of it, much less what was below the surface. And right. There's so much that we just don't know about. And so, therefore, how do you come up with a law to regulate something the regulators can't even understand? The entire economy is sort of, and continues to be, hanging by a thread. And so you at least, again, going back to my original point, you at least want someone who have an insider knowledge in terms of, well, you know what, you don't want to go too far down that road or else everyone's going to freak out. And what we know about Wall Street specifically is that they're very easy to freak out. So it'll be a couple of years, and maybe we'll find out why all these guys were elevated in the Obama administration, despite, you know, its agenda and what, you know, he promised to do in the campaign.
He's leading them all into a sting operation. You know, like when the police send out, like, flyers, hey, come pick up your free TV, to a bunch of people with, like, arrest warrants out on them. Yeah. They all show up and they bust them all. That's what he's doing. He's going to get them all into one room and then, you know, pop them in the back of the head like Tommy in Goodfellas.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I say all of this, and I try, in lieu of solid reporting, sourced reporting, I'm just trying to say, you know what, there might be an alternative explanation to all of this. I don't know. This is not the exclusive explanation. This is not the explanation that I'm saying is absolutely 100% true and accurate. But when we're discussing, you know, analysis and observations, there's nothing wrong with saying, well, you know what, this could also be the real deal here. You know, look, there's so many things that, you know, I haven't liked about the some things that the Obama administration has done. I mean, most recently, I flipped my wig over the debt deal, which was a terrible. The whole thing was, from beginning to end, it was awful. Politics, the policy, all of it. You know, but the other thing I'm getting tired of is defending myself by coming up with a list of things that I disagree with the administration about.
Right. No, I saw that thing you put up on the blog, and yeah. You're right. You know, you shouldn't have to, you know, you shouldn't approach it from the point of view of the person on the defense, and therefore you have to apologize. Let me preface this by saying that, you know,
right. Yeah,
you've done all these nice things, but hey.
Let me preface my list of pop songs that I enjoy by saying that I like their first albums the most.
Exactly.
So it's like it is. I get into it.
Or it's the people who say, you know, I'm not necessarily endorsing Ron Paul. Blah 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 blah.
Exactly. Exactly. Hey, guess what? We've got the after party coming up next. We'll record that show next. And all of that, if you go to bobsesca.com or also deusexmalcontent.com, you can see ways to subscribe to the After Party show. And I guarantee it'll be worth your buck and a quarter a week. It's the price of a cup of coffee. Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Drive safely. And we'll see you on the After Party, Chaz.
Yep. You too. Later.